Hello and welcome back, everyone, to another episode here on the 5571 podcast. My name is Danny, and for those that don't know, this is a podcast all about what's new and what's happening at the Design Resort. And we have quite a bit of news to talk about this week, not necessarily specifically to Disneyland Resort, but all about another topic that we have discussed many a time on this podcast. And I think it's actually the last time last D23 Expo was when David and I started this podcast around that time. So it's kind of coming full circle here with another D23 on the horizon. But that was the spoiler. This week's episode is all about D23. We got the news. D23 tickets go on sale next week. We already knew that one. They go on sale next week on Tuesday, the 26th. But we got specifics, right? We knew tickets were going on sale on the 26th, but was that pre-order? Was that pre-sale? Was that general sale? What was that? So now we know the details of what that day is, what the ticket prices are, how the tickets are going to work, and more importantly, how the Honda Center is going to work. All these things were left unknown when we originally were talking about it all. However, there's a little bit of regular Disneyland news to get into, as well as other theme park news too. So we'll get that out of the way first, and then we'll head back over to talk about D23 this year. And it's going to be really hard for me to not say D23 Expo. I'm going to keep saying it and like trying not to say Expo, because this year's event is not called D23. So I have to really like, or D23 Expo, I mean. So I have to really try not to call it that, because I'm so used to calling it that after, you know, so many years of going to the event since its inception. So, but let's go ahead and get started. First things first, and this was a pretty big news item. Disney Parks actually shared a look at what was going to be happening over next to Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Now, we already knew once we saw the model of Tiana's Bayou Adventure at D23 Expo, last time we had D23 Expo, just a couple years ago almost, that something would be happening to the Briar Patch store. That's the store just adjacent to the former Splash Mountain attraction that is still themed to Br'er Rabbit and the characters from Splash Mountain to this day, and it's still open. We knew that that was going to be changing, though, because at least on the model anyway, there was an attraction sign for Tiana's Bayou Adventure just outside this store. And of course, we knew they're obviously not going to keep the Br'er theme in this store. It's going to change. So this store is called the Briar Patch. And then additionally, over in Critter Country, the rest of the land really, besides Splash Mountain, is just centered around Winnie the Pooh and Hungry Bear. So we have the Hungry Bear restaurant, we have the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh attraction, and then we have the Winnie the Pooh meet and greets and the Winnie the Pooh gift shop called Pooh Corner, which for many people is a very big staple in their visits to Disneyland because it has the honey spot. The section of the candy section of the store where they make fresh Disneyland treats, and you can also watch them make them in the window. It's where they birthed the Tigger Tails, which are a very famous Disneyland treat for a lot of people that come regularly, and a few other treats that people really enjoy from this location. So earlier this week, Disneyland actually shared the fate of this area. A lot of people were worried, what's going to happen to the Winnie the Pooh ride? Are they going to change like this whole area into like a Tiana land? What are they going to call Critter Country? Well, Disney released an update on Disney Parks blog talking just that, talking about that and what's happening there. So essentially, the Briar Patch store is changing. It's going to close and it's going to change into a new store centered around Raymond, if you remember. Raymond is the Firefly from the movie Princess and the Frog, who is one of Tiana's friends in the movie, right? And plays a very emotional role, actually, in the film, without trying to spoil it for anyone. But Ray, or Raymond, Ray's for short, that's going to be who the gift shop is themed after. And it's also going to be named after him as well, too. So it's going to be called Ray's Berets. So the store still maintains its hat theme, right? It's still going to be selling hats, ears, all that kind of stuff, with a few other accessories and gifts and things like that. But mainly a hat store, which is what it started as and what it's going to continue being. But now it's called Ray's Berets. And the signage even looks very similar. It doesn't even look like they changed all that much. In fact, if you zoom in on the signage, it even looks like it's in the Splash Mountain font, which is kind of weird. But the theming of the shop remains. It still looks like a log cabin underneath a grass hill. They still kind of have that situation going on with a new signage that features a lot of hats stacked up all around it. And then in that brush on top of the store, because the store is kind of growing underneath or underneath like a giant hill, there's like what looks like, at least in the artwork anyway, a bunch of fireflies all in that grass that really come to life at night. And for those that are listening to the podcast, obviously, and we're not seeing what's being shown here, I'm looking at the pictures from Disney Parks blog, which I'll link in the show notes so you guys can maybe look at this while you're listening to it as well. Disney's actually showing both of these concept arts in the evening. So you can kind of really see how not only the gift shop lights up, but also these firefly effects around the store, really showing how Disney's going to bring more of that bayou feel into Critter Country than what currently exists there. So we're also seeing, too, outside of Ray's Berets, some more highly themed, like, outside kind of, like, merchandise stands, because right now, outside of Briar Patch, they do have stands outside the store that carry merch, but it seems like really just kind of like general things that you'd see at any of the other Disneyland stores. And these have more of a high theme. So it's like a barrel with a stick on it and a bunch of hats on it. And then the other one is like a hollowed out boat that's resting up against the store and like has a bunch of ears in it. Like stuff like that, that has more of a theme that's relevant to the store and kind of brings more story to the fact that you're in the bayou. But I thought more importantly, in this whole update that Disney issued, they continued to call the land Critter Country. So I think it's safe to say that the area is still going to be called Critter Country and we won't have to worry about a name change. I thought maybe there'd be a chance they change it to Bayou Country just so it kind of matches the theme of everything, since Critter Country is kind of more woodsy and the bayou and the swamp areas of Louisiana don't really translate well to like Critter Forest, right? But that's, you know, it's still sharing a space. It's still sharing a land with Winnie the Pooh. So it's still going to be called Critter Country, at least at this time, unless Disney's going to change it later on, closer to the ride actually opening, and they let us know then. But for now, it's still being referenced many times in that article and that post as Critter Country. I noticed that little detail just kind of reading it as well. The other change is coming to the Pooh Corner store, and maybe the areas surrounding the Pooh Corner store. Now, in the concept art, they show us the section of the Pooh Corner store that's already actually kind of closed off a little bit. If you've ever visited Disneyland recently in the last few months, while the construction is taking place. So essentially, you think about Critter Country at the very back there where the Pooh Corner store is located. That Winnie the Pooh store is pretty long. It's pretty big and it's got multiple rooms, multiple sections. So essentially, like the left side kind of starts off with clothing and then the middle section kind of transitions into like toys and like child things. And then that last section has the home goods, the candy, and like the fresh treats in the cabinet. So it's kind of what you can expect when you go into Pooh Corner. Well, the store is now going to be split into two, I guess. So part of the store is going to be called, well, it's still going to remain as Winnie the Pooh, which is currently the side that has the treats in it. That'll still be themed to Winnie the Pooh. It's still going to be themed to the 100 Acre Wood. But what I'm taking from the article is that the whole store is still going to be called, or is going to be called the new name, which is Lewis's Critter Club. And I think the name Critter Club allows them to essentially loop in Winnie the Pooh in that whole store. So it's not, that doesn't not make sense as to why Winnie the Pooh is there and why they're doing, you know, such a transition of a theme from Lewis and the Bayou to the 100 Acre Wood and Winnie the Pooh. So that's my guess. I don't think it wasn't necessarily indicated that they were going to still have Pooh Corner signage on the outside of it somewhere, even on just that corner where the candy is. That could very well be the case. But what they're showing us in the concept art is that very left-hand side of Pooh Corner store, with a the sign of Pooh Corner no longer being there, and a new sign which features Lewis with his trumpet. And it says Lewis is Critter Club, and he's got like his mouth open smiling. So the shop itself has been kind of covered in vines and moss. It looks very bayou-esque. There's a whole section, you know, at the top of it that's, I don't remember seeing now. I guess I haven't paid attention to it, but it just looks like they've added a lot of embellishments to make it seem more bayou than actually like the way it is now in the Hundred Acre Wood. So you'll have to take a look at it on the concept art. It does also feature a lot of firefly effects around it as well, too. So I'm not sure if maybe just in general, the Critter Country area, once Tiana's Bayou Adventure opens, is going to be having a very firefly-esque vibe to it all, which is great. And I'm excited for all these changes. However, Disney did mentioned something in the article, and Disney kind of does this sometimes where they mention something using very specific verbiage to kind of say like, well, we talked about it, but they don't actually have to talk about it. They kind of like talk about it on the side and they're not really discussing it. But at the very, very end of talking about Pooh Corner changing to Critter Lewis's Critter Club, they also mentioned, you know, some additional things. They mentioned that Critter Country, as a land, would be closing to the public temporarily starting on May 1st. So if you want to visit Critter Country, more specifically, if you want to remember and see Critter Country around the Splash Mountain, Winnie the Pooh area that you know and love currently as it is now, I'd probably recommend going over there and doing that. Disney said it's going to be closing on May 1st, and we don't know how long it's going to be closed for because we don't know when Tiana's Bayou Adventure is opening, right? We haven't been given a date yet for that. Only Walt Disney World has. So something to keep in mind. That was one thing. But then the other thing they mentioned at the end of the article, and I wanted to read this specifically. It says, teams are working hard to bring Tiana's Bayou Adventure to life, and we're continuing to invest in the improvement of overall pathways and surrounding areas to help provide a great guest experience when the attraction opens. So let me repeat that again. Teams are working hard to bring Tiana's Bayou Adventure to life, and we're continuing to invest in the overall the improvement of overall pathways and surrounding areas to help provide a great guest experience when the attraction opens. To me, this translates as the pathways and areas around Tiana's Bayou Adventure aren't wide enough for what they want to be able to provide a great guest experience for the queues they expect at this attraction. If you think about Splash Mountain and when it gets really, really crowded on a hot summer day, you can see it loop back and forward up and down that main corridor of Critter Country, sometimes like four times. And that doesn't even include how much of the queue actually goes all the way back to Haunted Mansion as well, too, and then loops back that way. So there can be a lot of zigzagging forth, back and forth on this. There's going to be a lot of work that needs to be done to accommodate maybe a much larger influx of people that want to ride the ride since it's new and something they haven't experienced before. My guess with this verbiage of overall pathways and surrounding areas is that the character meet and greets that currently exist right now for Winnie the Pooh that take up a majority of those pathways outside the Pooh Corner store, my guess is they're going to go away. Now, does that mean you won't be able to meet Winnie the Pooh anywhere? I don't know. I think when the land closes, there could be some restructuring potentially of the bottom level of the Critter Country or the Hungry Bear restaurant. There could be like the ramp for the Hungry Bear restaurant. Maybe they incorporate Winnie the Pooh meet and greet somehow up there. There's a lot of space that's kind of unused there. There's ways for them to do it. But I have a feeling that the little themed meet and greet areas for Rabbit, Winnie the Pooh, Piglet, Eeyore, I don't think those are going to last. They don't match the vibe and the theme of what we're seeing in this concept artwork of making Critter Country feel a little bit more like the bayou, more swampy, vines and things like that. It just doesn't mesh with that. They can, and also not only that, I would imagine we're going to be incorporating somehow a meet and greet for potentially Lewis, Naveen, Princess Tiana, maybe Lottie. Who knows, right? We have to kind of wait and see what that looks like. So, or even Eudora, right? We might get Princess Tiana's mom. So I would imagine they're going to have a space. So potentially it's maybe a shared space that can be utilized by all the characters, including the characters from Winnie the Pooh. So, but yes, I do, I would say based on that verbiage in that sentence, it was very, it was, the words and phrases were chosen very carefully, and I think for a reason. So basically, just to be safe, right? And this is not confirmed in this. This is kind of us reading in. Disney did not say anything about these things going away. I'm just reading into what they actually provided because they said something without saying something. Because why even mention that at all, right? Like, why do you need to let us know that we're continuing to invest in the overall improvement of pathways and surrounding areas? Well, I think it's because they're going to be changing the way the pathways and corridors are in Critter Country to accommodate the larger amount of people they expect for Tiana's Bayou Adventure. And not only that, we haven't even discussed Disneyland Forward, right? Once Disneyland Forward, you know, is approved and they use that space across from Disneyland, Critter Country is a perfect launching platform to cross Disneyland Drive to head on over to that new space. You could potentially also do that from New Orleans Square as well, too, if you reworked some of the buildings. But it seems like Critter Country would be the easiest way, right? There's a gate already there that opens directly up to the backstage area, which could be reworked to a new land and then cross over Disneyland Drive. So, you know, Critter Country itself could play host in the future to a major thoroughfare to a new part of Disneyland. So that alone, too, could be Disney saying, hey, let's take advantage of the fact that we're closing this space and we're making these pathways wider, not only for Tiana, but for the future expansion of Disneyland and where the park's going to expand next. So these are all things to think of, and these are kind of how I interpret this article. But just to kind of recap everything, so we're getting two new shops in Critter Country. Briar Patch is being reimagined to raise berets. Concept of the stores remaining the same, but all the inside and outside are changing a little bit to match the theme of Princess and the Frog and for Raymond the Firefly. And then the Pooh Corner store, basically every section of that store is changing except for the area that has the candy and the treats in it, and it will change to Lewis's Critter Club with more of a bayou kind of swampy theme to it. And then supposedly the right-hand side of the store will remain themed to the 100-acre wood. It just says the treat side of Pooh Corner will remain as a destination for must-have merchandise for 100-acre wood, including the beloved sweet treats like Tigger Tails. So they did call that out. But essentially, I would make sure that if you want to see the land how it is, or you're that kind of person that you're like, I want to experience it one more time how it is, and if you want to just experience the Winnie the Pooh ride for the last time before it's closed for a really long time, make sure you get to Critter Country before May 1st. That's when it closes, and it's when it's going to remain closed while all these changes are happening, probably until Tiana's Bayou Adventure reopens with its grand reopening ceremony. The second bit of news I wanted to talk about for Disneyland, and kind of a little bit of Disney as well too, is for Disney Lorcana, the trading card game. We've talked about that on the podcast before. They actually announced their newest set coming out just this couple days ago. They talked about it. The new set is actually going to be coming out to Disney parks and hobby stores on May 17th, and it's going to be called Ursula's Return. This set does feature the characters from Encanto very heavily. They kind of focus on like one or two or three major like properties in each of the sets. And it looks like this one has a lot of Sorcerer Mickey, Yen Sid, and also the characters from Encanto. And of course, Ursula, since it is her set, right? So this set is going to be coming out, like I mentioned, on May 17th. And I mention it here because it'll be available at Disneyland on that date. And every single day that these cards have come out for the different sets, Disneyland also gets it first, just like the hobby stores. And Disneyland gets a pretty big shipment. So if you are interested in getting any of the sets, I would head to Disneyland over to Downtown Disney. They sell these cards over at the Pin Trader store just outside the Downtown Disney monorail station. And a lot of times they have really big shipments and availability for days. So that's been the case for the current set that's there. And it's probably going to be the set for this, the case for this set. It's really nice because a lot of times when the hobby stores get these cards, they raise the prices and do not charge the market value price for what these are. So it's nice to get them from Disney. Even though they don't allow you to use your discount on them, they still will sell them to you at the regular price rather than a marked up price. So something to keep in mind, and mark your calendars for May 17th if you are a Lorcana fan. That's when you'll be able to get the new set, Ursula's Return, at Disneyland. So now back on to D23. So this event is totally different in a lot of ways, right? We talked about already, no D23 Expo in the name. This is now D23, the ultimate Disney fan event. They're just dropping the Expo and using D23 as the moniker for the event itself. A lot of times the invited celebrities and guests who came to these events just referred to everything as D23, and even when the news and media were talking about it, when they had these big announcements for different movies and stuff like that, they mentioned D23. A lot of times Expo was never mentioned, so I think their thought was they just wanted to just drop the moniker of Expo and just keep D23 because that's what they want it to be known as. D23 is this big event like Comic-Con. They want that to be just kind of how it's remembered. I have a hard time transitioning because it's been called D23 Expo since 2009 when the first Expo happened. And I feel like having the merchandise say Expo and everything just kind of made it all that much more special. I feel like the new merchandise featured for this event, just saying D23 on it, makes me feel like it's just like D23 like member group merchandise and it's not like specific to the event. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel just about the name change or the fact that that's what the merch says now. So I'm going to hold off on pre-ordering any of that, I think. I did pre-order a shirt and a lanyard the last time they did that for the sales, but we'll talk about that in just a second. However, Disney shared on the 19th all the information about tickets, how to buy them, how much they're going to cost, and all that, and it got a little confusing, to say the least. So I'm going to break it down here. I also broke it down on Twitter/X, so if you want to follow me over there, I did a whole Twitter thread, which got a lot of views that day, but it broke down each like very plain wording, how it works, because it's got kind of confusing. So we knew this year that they'd be adding the Honda Center to the lineup as far as a place where big presentations would be happening. We didn't know if this was going to cost more, what that was going to look like, if there was a separate ticket, all that kind of stuff. So we now know that there's going to be two different types of tickets for D23 Expo. One type of ticket is called the D23 Fan Pass. This is just a ticket for both D23 Gold members and D23 General members that only gives you access to the Anaheim Convention Center and all the panels and presentations happening at the Anaheim Convention Center. So that's going to be called the D23 Fan Pass. Then there's the next ticket, which is called the D23 Ultimate Fan Pass. And this includes all that stuff we just talked about. So it includes the Honda or the access to the Anaheim Convention Center and all the show floor and all the presentations and panels that happen at the convention center. And then it includes access to the Honda Center. And in addition to that, the access at the Honda Center includes assigned seating. So you're guaranteed a seat that you will use every single day or just the one day, whatever you're purchasing, for the entire time you're visiting. So the nice part about that is that you can know when buying a ticket that you're going to have access to all the presentations at the Honda Center, and there's not going to be a time where you're going to be denied access, which has been the case at every other D23 Expo prior. The big presentations in either the arena when it first started or Hall D23 in more recent years, that if you didn't queue up and wait the hours and hours and hours before that people were queuing for some of these panels, there's a chance you might not get in and you'd be turned away. And in fact, for a lot of people attending D23 Expo, this was the case. You didn't have access to a panel, and some people were buying tickets, sometimes 3-day tickets, without knowing just what they would be experiencing as far as these long queues, and then would be, you know, realize that they bought a 3-day ticket, can't access any panel, and they feel like they were cheated out of their money. And so it becomes a big negative detractor for Disney as far as guest satisfaction surveys and things like that, because people feel like they're just not getting their money's worth when it comes to these passes. So again, just to kind of basically go over it all, two types of tickets for the event. One is called the D23 Fan Pass, which is just the convention center in that area only. And then there's the D23 Ultimate Fan Pass, which includes that, plus access to the Honda Center with a guaranteed seat. Now, there's even a third type of ticket. This one's going to be called the Ultimate Fan Pass Preferred Ticket. And this ticket gives you access to the Anaheim Convention Center. It gives you access to the Honda Center. But in the Honda Center, you're in the sections that are on the floor, or lowest and closest to the stage. So you're right up in the action, really good seat in the Honda Center arena. You're not going to be in the nosebleeds. You're not going to be in those upper sections. You know you're going to have a good seat on the floor. And these tickets can get a little pricey, right? They start at $1,000 for those ones. So now we know we have three ticket types, essentially. And each of those ticket types is then broken down into whether or not you're going 1 day at a time or 3 days at a time. So starting back, rewinding here, going to the first ticket type. The first ticket type, which is the D23 Fan Pass, only accessible for just the convention center itself and all the panels and show floor and everything that's happening there. Keep in mind the big dome at the Anaheim Convention Center, that's going to be used as an arena again. And they're going to be doing presentations in there again for the first time in quite a few years. So that'll be another great way for them to increase capacity on some of the smaller, now much larger presentations that aren't happening at the Honda Center. So if you're just wanting to do convention center access, you're not only getting a lot more accessibility to do these different panels, especially with bigger spaces like the arena being used, but Disney also mentioned that the D23 Expo show floor, the show floor of it all, is going to be the biggest they've ever had in the event's history. So it's already shaping up to be a much bigger event than years past, and I think Disney's trying to do this to really listen to a lot of feedback they've received and try to make sure that guests can have a good experience when going to an event like this that's really in high demand. So the D23 Fan Pass, which again only includes access to the Anaheim Convention Center, has, like I mentioned, either a 1-day ticket or a 3-day ticket. So for gold members, this is where your little bit of a discount comes into play. So if you're a D23 gold member, you get about $10 off on all of the single day admission. And then for the 3-day admission, you're getting $50 off. So a pretty good savings, actually, if you're a gold member and you just want to do access to the convention center and you don't have any interest in going to the Honda Center. D23 general members, which is anyone that can sign up for a free membership just by creating an account on d23.com, you're going to be paying just $10 more and then $50 more for that 3-day ticket. So a 1-day ticket on either Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for just the Anaheim Convention Center alone is going to cost you $79 if you're a gold member and $89 if you're a general member. And you must be either one to purchase this ticket. So if you aren't a member at all, then you need to go to d23.com and at least register for the free membership to be able to buy a ticket at all. Okay, so the one-day ticket again, $79 for gold members, $89 a piece for general members. Now, the three-day ticket is $209 for a gold member and $259 for a general member. So if you are a gold member here, this is where your big savings comes into play. And again, this is just for access to the convention center alone. And that is the regular D23 Fan Pass. Now we're going to move on to the D23 Ultimate Fan Pass. Are you confused yet? So the D23 Ultimate Fan Pass, this is the one that includes access to the convention center plus the Honda Center with the reserved seating. Now this ticket is also being sold in single day increments, so you can buy it for Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. And it's also being sold in a 3-day Ultimate Fan Pass configuration, and then, like we mentioned earlier, a 3-day preferred for those really good seats in the Honda Center. So these tickets, as far as the difference between this and the only Anaheim Convention Center, it's just $20, at least if you're a gold member anyway. So and then if it's $10 more if you're a general member. So for each of the single day tickets, it's just $99 starting price. And why do I say starting price on this one? Well, depending on what section and what seat you pick in the Honda Center, your ticket price could increase. And Disney also then shared how the seating would break down. So the starting price, aka the lowest price of the D23 tickets, would be in the 400 section. If you've ever been to the Honda Center, the 400 section is essentially the nosebleeds, the seats that are the highest up in the bowl of the arena. Then the middle section is your 200s section. And this section would increase the price of your ticket if you're sitting here. And then, of course, the show floor would be the 100 section. And this would be exclusively for guests that are purchasing that preferred ticket. So the single day tickets, again, start at $99 for the essentially the worst seats or the highest seats in the arena. But I look at it this way. Unless you're on the show floor, you're probably going to be pretty far from the stage anyway. And Disney has giant jumbotrons accessible in this arena, and I'm sure they're going to be setting up their own, where they're going to give you a pretty good view of the stage anyway, regardless of where you're sitting. I have seen a few concerts at the Honda Center, and pretty high up. And with the TV screens, it really helps make your seat a little bit better when you're that far away. But I think just the idea of being able to be in there and kind of be in live and in the middle of the announcement is enough for some people. So those ticket prices do start at $99 and they increase from there. And so how it increases is the 400 section is split into upper and lower. So the upper level of the 400 section are the ones that are those $99 price. Then the lower level of that same section, so kind of more towards the front of that section before it transitions to the 200 section, those would increase $50 to $150 a ticket for anything in those sections. Then when you go down to the 200 level section, when you're in that stage adjacent, kind of like on the sides of the stage, those tickets increase another $40 to $189 per ticket for one day and with a view on like the side. Then if you're trying to just be straight in 200 level, not on the side of the stage, your ticket goes up $100 to $250. So the single day ticket that includes the Honda Center access can start as low as $99 and go as high as $250. Now for the 3-day ticket, it works the same exact way. you start at $297 in the upper section, in the 400 upper section. And then as you increase, it can go as high as $747. So that's almost like a $500 increase in your price of ticket just based on where you're sitting. So upper 400s would be $297. Lower 400s would be $447. The side view of the 200 section would be $567. And then the 200 level straight on would be $747. So this is the variable pricing that comes into play because this is a Ticketmaster Live Nation venue. And we talked about this on this podcast before, as well as on Mondo's Speculation Sunday on his Five Fires YouTube channel, how because this was a Ticketmaster Live Nation venue, that we figured there would be some sort of like variable price, because there's different pricing when you go see a concert, right? Depending on how high up you are versus how low you are. And if they're going to be using a Ticketmaster Live Nation owned venue, they're going to be subject to this when selling tickets for their event. So that's what it's looking like for visiting D23 in either the 1 day or the 3 day with access to the Honda Center. And when you're purchasing these tickets, what we found out today is you're going to select the ticket that you want and the section that you want. And then as you're purchasing the ticket, you're going to be selecting your seat. And this is the same seat that you will have access to on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Or if you're just going for 1 day, it'll be the seat that you have access to on the 1 day that you're selecting. So when you pick a ticket and a seat for your 3 day ticket, just keep in mind, that's the same seat you're going to be sitting in if you choose to go to the event every single night that's happening at the Honda Center. And one thing we didn't talk about right now so far is what's happening in the Honda Center. So on Friday, the first day of the event, they're going to be doing the Disney like Studios showcase. This is going to be encompassing Star Wars, Lucasfilm, right? Marvel, Walt Disney Studios, so any live action movies coming out from Disney. It's also going to be incorporating Disney animation, Pixar animation, all in one large showcase that's happening on Friday night. And this is happening in the evening after the D23 show floor closes. Saturday night is going to be Disney Parks and Experiences. This is going to be another popular one, right? This is on Saturday, the Disney Parks presentation, going to be probably a really big popular one, so keep that in mind. And then on Sunday, it's the Disney Legends Ceremony, in which Disney already shared which Disney Legends would be receiving the award, of which I'll name just a few. We have the incredible and amazing Joe Rohde finally getting his Disney Legend Award during this ceremony. We also have the legend himself, John Williams, who's composed almost every movie's amazing score that I've ever loved that we've all grown up watching. He'll be receiving a Disney Legends Award. And then, of course, also Harrison Ford will be another example of someone. There's a few others, too, that you might recognize, like Kelly Ripa, Miley Cyrus, all that kind of stuff. So there's the big list that's also in that Disney posted, I think, on D23, the event website. So you can check that out as well, too. So as far as pricing, we went over the two ticket types. We have the Fan Pass, which is only the convention center. We talked about how it starts at $79 and goes up to $259, right, for the three-day ticket. Then there's the Ultimate Fan Pass, which includes the convention center plus the Honda Center with the reserved seating. And then depending on which reserved seating you're picking, your ticket price could increase. Then lastly, there's D23 Ultimate Fan Pass, but then the preferred one, the one I was telling you about where the sections are on the floor. And this is where the prices get a little crazy. So even though you're on the show floor, there are different sections in the show floor, right? As how close or how far you are from the stage. And so there's different price tiers within the ultimate preferred fan pass section. So this is on the show floor. If you're at the back of the show floor, your ticket for a 3-day ticket with access to Honda Center all 3 days is going to start at $1,000. Now, the next section in front of that is going to be starting at $1,500. And then the next section in front of that is going to start at $2,099. And then finally, the section all the way up closest to the stage is going to start at $2,599. So there is quite a jump here. There's it starts at $1,000 and goes $1,500 more to the most expensive option. So you could be spending $2,600 a ticket if you wanted to have access to the show floor, access to the Honda Center with the best possible seats. It can get really expensive really fast. So keep that in mind. Now, also keep in mind, when you break down the per-day pricing, at least for the one that includes the Honda Center, the 3-day ticket starts at $297, and the single-day tickets are $99 each. When you take $99 and you times it by 3, you get $297. So there's no savings in buying the 3-day ticket. So a lot of times what has happened in the past is the 3-day ticket will sell out, and then the only option is to buy single-day tickets. So even though the 3-day ticket sold out, they'll still have all 3 days available as a single-day ticket until those sell out. And then they'll keep selling individual tickets until all the different days are sold out. So if you're trying to buy tickets and you're in the queue and you get notified that the 3-day tickets are sold out, don't worry right away. You can still buy individual day tickets and still pay the same price. So that I thought was kind of cool, because in previous years, that's happened to me. I missed out in previous years on the 3-day ticket, and then you have to pay in the past, like it was like $40 more overall to buy each day's ticket individually. But this time around, doesn't look like that's the case. So that's kind of nice if you're looking at it that way. So look at all the ticket prices, look at the different sections of the Honda Center. If you're going into it like me, where you're like, I don't really care where I'm sitting in the Honda Center, but the fact that I get a reserved seat is the coolest part. I don't have to make sure I'm there queued up hours before. I can enjoy my time on the show floor and doing all the other panels at the Anaheim Convention Center, and I don't have to worry about getting to the Honda Center early. I can get to the Honda Center when I get there, stroll in, and know that I'm going to have a reserved seat that's for me specifically. And that's going to be the really nicest part about all this. And when you think about it, the last D23 Expo for the 3-day ticket, we paid almost $300 this last expo. And there was no guarantee of any of the presentations, at least the big ones, if you wanted to get into them. In fact, I only got into some of the panels because I was like a plus one with David when he went. And then I actually gained access to the movie panel with Peter and Kitra because we had won like the lottery system that they were doing, etc. So that one was totally separate. But as far as the Disney Legends ceremony, I couldn't get into that one, had no way of getting into it. And if it wasn't for David, I wouldn't have been inside the Parks and Resorts panel. So I had purchased a ticket that was almost $300 and didn't have access to any of those panels. I think it's really great that this time around, if I'm able to score the cheapest ticket at $297, I'm paying just a little bit more than what I was paying last time, which you expect, right? Disney typically raises the prices every year and has on this event since it first started. So I'm paying just a little bit more, but this time I'm guaranteed a seat every single day that these big presentations are happening. That's never happened before at the D23 Expo or D23 Now Ultimate Fan Event, right? So I think that's a pretty good value, but that kind of stops if you can't get the worst seat in the house, right? If you're going to have to increase to any of those lower sections, you're going to be paying $450, $560, and it gets a little pricey at that point. So look at the seating chart, look at the ticket pricing table and how the price increases. Know that you can buy individual days and it's not going to cost you less or more. And realize, okay, if I can't get the 3-day ticket, parks and resorts, all that matters to me. So I'm going to buy a 1-day ticket for the Honda Center on Saturday, because I know I want to go to the Honda Center to experience the Parks and Resorts show, but I don't necessarily care about the movies and I don't really care about the Disney Legends ceremony. So I'm just going to buy a 1-day ticket to the convention center only for $79 on top of what I buy for the 1 day to the Honda Center. So you can mix and match. So keep that in mind. Like, there's ways to save money and really spend only what you need to spend, and don't buy the 3-day ticket with access every day if you don't really plan on going to those events. If you're like, I don't want to go to the Legends ceremony, maybe buying the 3-day ticket that has access to the Honda Center all 3 days isn't necessary, because you're paying for access you're never going to use. So that's something I think a mistake a lot of people are going to choose, because they think right off the bat that buying the 3-day ticket's going to save them money. And the only way it does do that is if you're buying yourself the one that's just for the convention center that doesn't include Honda Center. So it makes it a little bit confusing. There's a lot of different tiers, a lot of different things, and it might make someone buy a ticket they don't need. So I just stress again to make sure you take a step back, look at everything, and see and prioritize what it is that you want to do the most, and be like, okay, maybe I only need to buy 2 days for the Honda Center and then 1 day for just the convention center. Or maybe you don't even need to go all 3 days. So like, really kind of look at it and break it down and see kind of what's the best way for you to save money. Because I feel like overall, a lot of people, if they're prioritizing what's important, can probably spend a lot less than they had in previous D23 Expos and have a way better experience this time, especially since the seating's guaranteed, at least in these big presentations anyway. So we've talked ad nauseum here about all the different ticket types and the pricing and all that stuff. What about when to buy tickets and how do I buy tickets? So tickets go on sale next week on Tuesday if you are a D23 Gold member. So March 26th, if you are an existing D23 Gold member before that date, you can purchase tickets in the presale starting at 12 p.m. Pacific time. Then the next day, Wednesday, March 27th, if you are a Disney Visa card holder, you can start your presale at 12 p.m. Pacific on that Wednesday. And then finally, on March 28th, which is Thursday, the next day, any other D23 member would be able to purchase their tickets starting that day at 12 p.m. Pacific. So Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, the 26th, the 27th, and 28th are the 3 days that tickets go on sale. I would imagine, just going out on a limb here, that the cheapest tickets are going to be the ones that sell out first, because the increase to the better sections is quite a big jump on a lot of the tiers, and for some people, they don't really care. So I would imagine have some alternatives in mind, just in case ticket sections and ticket types sell out. D23 also shared what ticket purchasing is going to look like, and it looks just like buying a ticket through Ticketmaster for a concert. So you're essentially given a map of the venue, and each seat is represented by a little blue dot. And then you're selecting the dots that you want for your specific seat. So for this particular event, you're selecting the ticket that you want. So let's just say you want a 3-day ticket for the one that includes the Honda Center. You're going to select that ticket type, and then it's going to take you to the map. And then you're going to have to, at that time, select the seats for all the different tickets that are going to be in your sale at that time. So I think you can purchase up to 8 is what they said. And it's going to work just like Ticketmaster does. So you can select best available and just grab, bam, whatever the best available is at that time when you get into the queue. Or you can select whatever you want specifically from the ticket map. This is what it was like when I was trying to get Taylor Swift tickets for the Eras Tour. Although when that was happening, the seats were literally filling up in front of my eyes as I was looking at the map. Like, you were just watching the dots disappear in real time, and it was happening in like a matter of seconds. I don't imagine it'll be that crazy for D23 Expo. So you'll be able to select your specific seat and make sure you guys are seated together. And you can utilize that every single day of the dates that you have purchased tickets for. So it looks like it's going to be through Ticketmaster. And in the screenshots that Disney shared on what it's going to look like, it looks exactly like the way Ticketmaster does. And of course, being that it's a Ticketmaster/Live Nation venue, that also includes Ticketmaster service fees. And in the screenshot, it does show that service fees are part of tickets. So it shows the ticket price, and then it says $9 service fee. So I don't know if $9 is going to be what the service fee is, or if there's going to be more than $9. But that's what they're showing in the sample screenshots anyways, at least for what it looks like. I'm hoping that since it's run by Ticketmaster, I know they're no stranger to ticket disasters, right? Especially with the whole Taylor Swift situation. However, they're certainly a lot better at it than some of the virtual queues we've had for Disney. So I have a little bit more faith in that buying tickets for this will be a lot easier. And that's my hope. So when you're purchasing, but now we know, when you're purchasing your tickets, you're then going to choose your seat if you're doing the Honda Center. If you're just going on there to purchase tickets for the convention center, you're not going to have to worry about this. It's only for people that are doing tickets that also include the Honda Center. So I think I've covered just about everything there is to cover about ticket types, and there's probably a lot more. Definitely tune in to Five Fires YouTube, Mondo's YouTube channel. We're going to have a whole section where we just do like a Q&A and just talk about people's questions, try to answer as many as we can on Speculation Sunday. That'll be on his YouTube channel this Sunday. Go check it out. We usually go live sometime between 5 and 7 p.m. on Sunday. So just keep that in mind. If you have additional questions and you want to ask specifically, you more than likely ask them there, and we'll be doing probably a huge section of Q&A just to get these questions. I know tons of people are going to have them, and that's literally days before they go on sale. But I hope you enjoyed listening to this podcast episode. I hope you took something away. I hope it helped you understand D23 tickets a little bit more and how that works. And we can all go through it together. And I'll be posting an episode after I hopefully am able to buy my tickets next week and talk about my experience. And maybe Disney has shared some more information about what's going to be happening. Oh, and I didn't mention before we go, Disney did say they would be providing complimentary transportation shuttles to and from the convention center to the Honda Center. But we'll talk more about that later on a different episode. But just know, that's included. So if you thought, oh my gosh, what about parking? How do I get there? They're going to include transportation. Is it going to be super fast and speedy with no lines? Probably not. But it's free and it's included. And you don't have to worry about paying parking twice. You just have to pay for parking once, wherever you park your car first that day. And then you can get transportation to the Honda Center later in the evening. But again, thank you for listening. And we'll see you on the next episode.